Well, welcome back. It's the fifth day of October, and we are on our third day of talking about different aspects of careers. The first day we talked about making career changes and being a career changer. And yesterday we talked about 6 points that Bill Gates wanted to give to people. People listen to him because he's worth 79.2 billion dollars. And everybody's just laughing because that 2.2 means a lot.
Mm-hmm. It means a lot.
So I'm Linda, and I want to welcome you today to our third day. And today we're going to be talking about a totally different topic. But before that, let's just review a little bit about what we really, what stuck with us from yesterday. And I'm going to start with our panelist, Rebecca.
Yes, I'm Rebecca, and I'm so glad that you all could join us today. Now, from yesterday, one of the 6 points that I remember is to be optimistic. I really think in general that it's very important to try to look for the positives, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're going, because if you look for the positives, you're going to find it, and then you'll be able to set goals, and I feel like it'll just make you so much happier.
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert. And the one point that I want to highlight in a review is think about your success. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates says that, hey, success is a lousy teacher. You know, it can make you complacent. And it's something that you should, I feel like it's like, hey, you made something great. You've done something good. You know, it's okay. Move mm-hmm. on and look for the next good thing that you could do or the next great thing you can make.
Right. And especially if we're talking about business or career. So we're talking about keeping up, right, with trends and technology. And I want to point out the one thing that I found surprising that he said was embrace your critics, because we tend to back away from them. We don't want to hear what our critics have to say about us. But according to Bill Gates, and I do think that's true, if we listen carefully, that's where we make improvements and where we learn the most. Especially, I think, in business, if something isn't working for somebody, and you're selling that product, you should take a look at why and if there's something that really does need to be changed. And now today we're talking about something entirely different. We're talking about CQ. And before we get into the topic, why don't we read on page 14, the right-hand column. The title of our article is Increase Your CQ IQ.
Increase your CQ IQ. CQ stands for cultural intelligence, and it's becoming more important in the workplace with each passing year. With the changes in demographics and with the customers we serve, it's becoming more important to have that cultural intelligence or cultural dexterity, which allows you to adapt behavior in light of cultural differences, says Murray A. Mann, a leadership coach in Chicago who specializes in diversity and cultural intelligence. Studies have shown that companies with a more diverse workforce have higher success rates than less diverse groups of high-performing problem solvers. Experts say knowing how to engage with each other is key, with distinct positive outcomes being associated with culturally diverse teams. It's very important to improve communication and sensitivity in the workplace, says Sharon Schweitzer, a cross-cultural etiquette expert in Austin, Texas.
Okay, let's review. So we have increase your CQ, IQ. So we have IQ, which means intelligence quotient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're measuring your intelligence. When I was a kid, we always had to take this. Not always, but we had to take IQ tests, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have EQ, and that's kind of a buzz term that's been around the last 5 or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Your emotional quotient. What does that mean, Rebecca?
Well, that refers to your emotional level, you know, and kind of like, the way that they measure your emotional level.
I feel like it's almost, if I remember correctly, how you, how mature your emotional level is, how you deal with setbacks and defeats and triumphs, and how you interact with other people.
Okay. Right. And it also has to do with your interaction with other people, how you treat them. And now today, we're going to be taking a look at CQ, which is your cultural intelligence. And for us, I think all three of us are from the United States, so we are living in cultural, not our own culture, right? So it's, I think that this article is very appropriate for us. So we see here that it's becoming more important in the workplace with each passing year. And I think a lot of this also has to do with, because this is written by somebody in the United States, it has a lot to do with immigration. And, you know, when you walk around in big cities in the States, you're not looking at, you know, what the population looked like when I was little, which was all white Americans. You know, it's very, very diverse now. And people need to be aware of cultural backgrounds and how culture enters into the workplace. So we see here that there are changes in demographics. Basically, this is what I was just saying. This word demographics, what does that mean? Albert?
It means data related to the population and different groups within it.
That's right out of the dictionary, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, and also, so those changes within populations within populations, okay, and the customers that we serve. So remember, again, this is a career business article, and it's becoming more important to have cultural intelligence or cultural dexterity. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, and we see this word dexterity, and that means the ability to perform a difficult action quickly and skillfully with the hands or the ability to think. And I think that when referring to cultural dexterity, this is actually just referring to the ability to interact with different types of cultures, with, you know, whether you're in your own culture or, you know, back in the States with other people coming to your country, you need to be able to interact with them.
Right. And so how flexible are we in looking at things from a different point of view? When we often see this word dexterity, you may have heard manual dexterity, and we talk about this in terms of children, because can they use a scissors? You know, how good are they at hand movements? You know, that's a developmental stage that kids go through. So now we're talking about our cultural dexterity. Are we flexible? Okay, can we see something besides our own point of view?
Right, especially in a business area where it's like you have globalization, you have more than one type of consumer, and you make a product that could be accessible by everyone, and sometimes it might offend somebody, or maybe it won't serve some other demographic correctly. So you have to be able to be flexible or have dexterity.
Well, when you're looking, since you brought up products, I think it's pretty interesting how products are localized by companies. And I know that some big corporations or food companies in particular, for example, if I can just use them, like Quaker, when I go to buy oatmeal, in the States you would never see oatmeal like mixed with red beans.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, right. You know, but
right.
You see that here because it's very, very common. And I know that there are some other companies that have whole departments that are striving for cultural dexterity because they're trying to change their products to be more localized in different places around the world. So it goes across the board, I think, to all levels within business. But we're talking particularly about cultural dexterity and behavior in light of cultural differences. Does it have to be my way? You know? And we've always done it this way? So this is coming from this guy called Murray Mann, and he is a leadership coach in Chicago. And I think it's so interesting now that we have coaches that have to, like, teach people. You know, you have to be culturally sensitive or change your way of thinking if you're going to see what he specializes in, diversity and cultural intelligence.
Well, it's amazing how many people I do know or have met who are not culturally sensitive.
Oh.
Or, you know, they've never been outside of their comfort zone. They've never been outside of their own city, their own country, their own town, and they really have no idea how to interact with people of different cultures.
So I think, in, you know, this is becoming, we talk about globalization and the world is getting smaller. We need to, you know, be more and more aware of this. Studies also have shown that companies with a more diverse workforce, I thought this was so interesting, have higher success rates than a less diverse groups of high-performing problem solvers. And we're talking about diverse here. What does that mean, Albert?
Diverse means to be varied or different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a diverse workforce is what?
From people with different gender, different backgrounds, different ethnicities and mm-hmm. regions that they come from. So this was really interesting. I was really curious about this, so I looked into it to see how and why a diverse workforce may solve problems better than a non-diverse workforce. And one example that this research that was done at Ivy League that was shown was they asked people like, oh, where do you put the ketchup in your kitchen, Linda?
In the refrigerator.
In the refrigerator? What about you, Rebecca?
Refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
In my household, we put it in the closet. So what happens is, like, if you approach, you have a problem, it's like, hey, we have ketchup, right? Everybody will look in the refrigerator, but it's not there, and they're like, oh, we're just mm-hmm. going to buy one. Whereas maybe for me, I'll be like, I'll start opening the closet and be like, oh, mm-hmm. or the pantry. And be like, oh, there's the ketchup. It's right here. We don't have to go outside and buy it.
That's true. I think in the States, I'd leave it in the pantry,
mm-hmm.
but because of the climate,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a subtropical climate in Taipei, I even keep my flour in the fridge. I mean, if you don't, it gets bugs.
Right.
So, you know, things like that.
Right. So that in that example itself, it's just different upbringing, different where you live. You might have different approaches or different ways to see things.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is true. I mean, I just remember going to visit my brother, and he lives in Northern Minnesota. It's a very dry climate, and they leave their bread out or their potato chips out in the open, you know, and they don't get soggy.
You can't do that here in Taiwan.
No, right. So you take that and you multiply it and you escalate it, like through education, through upbringing. You know, you might have different approaches to solving rockets or any other thing, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at problem solving across businesses, and we can see that problems in one area of the world are not the same in another area of the world.
Mm.
So if you have a diverse workforce, then you can look at it from all different points
mm-hmm.
of view.
And everyone's going to have a different way of seeing it, a different
mm-hmm.
way of trying to solve the problem. And
mm-hmm.
when you bring all those different viewpoints together, it's much easier to solve a problem.
Right. And we see, if we go on in our reading here, we say, with distinct positive outcomes being associated with culturally diverse teams, it's very important to improve communication and sensitivity in the workplace. And this is from a cross-cultural etiquette expert. If we look at this word etiquette, it just means the way you should behave,
mm-hmm.
a proper behavior. I just think it's so interesting now that we have to have cross-cultural etiquette experts.
Yeah, typically when I think of the word etiquette, I think about, you know, how you set the table, how you act at the table, how you talk to one another at the table. But now we have a cross-cultural etiquette expert who's training people how to talk to people of different cultures.
Or how to behave.
Or how to
think about personal space,
mm-hmm.
you know, all kinds of things.
You know, I agree on one level where you find, like, it's kind of hilarious how we have these specialized jobs, these coaches. But in another sense, I feel like it's like, hey, you know, we're trying to be more open-minded. So that's why we have to hire these people, or that these jobs exist to help other people who, you know, never had the chance to interact with mm-hmm. someone out of their comfort zone.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I know a lot of people back in the States
mm-hmm.
who have never left the States, have never left America.
It's no one's fault.
Right. It's not their fault. It's nobody's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going back to visit and just sharing with them a little bit of what I do here in Taiwan, the
mm-hmm.
different foods that I eat,
Ooh.
The different, you know, the transportation. And a lot of them, their first response is, ew, really? You ate squid? That's gross. Or you ate. And it's not that they have done anything wrong. It's just
right.
that they're not accustomed to what we do in Taiwan.
Right.
Okay. So we need people of all kinds to help us in our road to understanding
okay.
and helping, you know, if we're looking for a positive outcome in teamwork, you know, we have to be open,
mm-hmm.
very, very open. Well, let's continue on with our reading on page 15. We're going to read the whole page, and we're going to start in the left-hand column.
Start with self-awareness. Before you can understand another culture, you must understand your own. Once you understand the culture that has defined your world, you see the value of culture. Then you can start learning about others and develop professional relationships with a variety of individuals, regardless of cultural differences. Schweitzer's tips for building cultural sensitivity. 1. Spend time with a variety of coworkers. Create a team atmosphere by avoiding office cliques and encouraging diverse connections. Frequent interactions and the building of a community will help you and your colleagues feel comfortable and accepted, regardless of background. If you have a large number of coworkers from a particular culture, strive to understand their belief systems. 2. Focus on the similarities. Don't get hung up on the differences. Regardless of home country, human beings share a common desire to relate. 3. Understand the various forms of communication. Nonverbal communication styles can vary by culture and include the definition of personal space. Identify differences and respect them. 4. Elevate awareness to intelligence. Mann says that cultural intelligence combines cultural knowledge, emotional intelligence, and interpersonal skills to achieve improved business results in any cross-cultural situation. Cultural intelligence is about applying strategies in the moment with coworkers and clients, he says.
So we see here that they're suggesting that we start with self-awareness. I thought this was a pretty good point, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think it's actually an excellent point to start with self-awareness. Before you can understand another culture, you must understand your own. I mean, it's very true. How are you going to understand a different culture in a different country if you don't even understand your own culture?
I think it's because it defines who we are. Our culture really defines mm-hmm. who we are. So I know you grew up in California, mm-hmm. and you grew up in the South.
I actually also grew up in California.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you used to live, like, in Florida, too, didn't you?
I've lived all over. Yeah, I lived in Florida, North Carolina,
so which,
Virginia.
So which part of the country would you say defined your culture?
Probably California.
Oh, wow.
Because I lived there for 14 years. And then everywhere else, I lived there for probably 3 years.
Okay. So we have two Californias, and whereas I grew in the upper Midwest.
Okay.
So I think that the definition of my culture is probably slightly different than the mm-hmm. definition of your cultures.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
You know, because it depends upon the people around you and their outlook and, you know, what you come in contact with as you're growing up.
Mm-hmm. And I think in California, there's actually a lot of different cultures.
Right.
There's all these different subcultures in one big culture.
Right.
I remember when I was growing up, everybody was the same, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a small town. And even if you were from a different country within Europe, people from this country in Europe look differently at people from that country in Europe. They even talked about them. So, you know, they still are all Northern Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite different. But we have to really realize that about ourselves, and then we can look at the value of where we grew up, and then we can also see the value of where others grew up. Because we're not, you know, we're all different. You know, and we need to learn to do this in our professional relationships, don't you think?
Right. I feel like a lot of times people default to the thinking like, oh, your way is different, so it is bad. It is not mm-hmm. the way I do things or the way I see things, but so then it's not right.
Or we think that, oh, you should change your ways to be like my ways because my ways are better than your ways. And that's a totally an incorrect way of seeing people or different cultures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the one thing for all of us, I mean, really, I would like all of us to take away from this in particular, is that one culture is not better than another culture. It's only different.
Mm.
And the more we can increase our understanding, or, as Schweitzer says, our cultural sensitivity, mm-hmm. the better off we all will be. So let's take a look. There are four points here that she is given, and the first one is spend time with a variety of coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we work in a diverse organization, it is true. You know, we tend to have cliques. I don't think that this is necessarily true in offices. It's true across cultures. I have a friend, and she went to Africa. They were building a children's home, and she was working with Africans and with people from a European country. And she was the only Chinese person there. And she was in the bush in Africa, in Kenya. And she said, we were talking once, and she said the loneliest time of day for her was dinner because every cultural group wanted to eat with their own group.
Oh.
And she, because they were tired of trying to speak across languages, and she always ate by herself.
Oh.
Well, you know something? It really is exhausting when you're trying to speak across a different culture or when you have that language barrier.
Right.
Right.
I remember going to college, and there was quite a diverse group of people. You know, we have, like, people from Asia, people
mm-hmm.
from Europe. And they always stuck in their small little groups, just like you were saying. And I could never quite understand until I moved to Taiwan and I realized it's just more comfortable.
Right.
You know, when you're in a different country, it's just more comfortable to be with the people that you're comfortable with.
But you are never going to get, mm-hmm. you know, we're never going to get another understanding if we, I mean, I understand why they did that, but, you know, I think for reaching out across cultures, we have to get out of that.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think that it says to create a team atmosphere, we need to encourage diverse connections.
Right, I just want to go back and add a little bit. Even if you're speaking the same language, sometimes it's just easier to hang out with the people that you come from the same background or
mm-hmm.
same area, because you don't want to, like, inadvertently offend somebody. And sometimes, like, you know, during lunch or at the end of the day, like your friend's example, they're just tired and they
mm-hmm.
just want things to be smooth.
I think, yeah, I always just felt bad because for me, I would never let somebody sit and eat by themselves, no matter how, you know, uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I just felt sad for her.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, you know, the more interactions you have in the building of community, everybody will feel accepted and more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that by isolating people like that, you create more problems than you are bringing people together. So I just think we need to be aware. And again, we have all said this, if you have a large number of coworkers from a particular culture, you know, we need to strive to understand their belief systems, because this is a very diverse world we live in,
mm-hmm.
and we're integrating into businesses here.
Yeah. And I think that goes for both different, no matter what the culture is,
mm-hmm.
if you are the minority or if you're the majority, no matter what, you should try to make an effort to try to understand the other culture and their beliefs.
And oftentimes we're not just talking about one other culture, we're
mm-hmm.
talking about a multitude of cultures. No, because now there's so much travel. I mean, it's really becoming a globalization is happening, and we really need to be aware. So the second point here is focus on similarities. Don't get hung up on the differences.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good term, get hung up on, which means what, Albert?
It means to be extremely interested in or worried by a particular subject and spend an unreasonable large amount of time thinking about it. For example, they'll get hung up on your ex.
Okay, so don't think,
right.
Don't overly think about your ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, right?
Right.
So here in talking about business, we're saying that it doesn't matter what your home country is, everybody wants to relate.
Absolutely.
And then we look at number three here. You know, we need to think more about the words that we say. We also need to look at nonverbal communication. We need to understand what people's nonverbal communication messages mean.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because something that we do in the States actually could be very offensive, as far as nonverbal communication goes, can be very offensive in another culture. And when you're visiting another culture, I think it's very important to know that and be aware of some of those differences.
Right.
Right. In Studio Classroom Magazine, we've actually written articles
mm-hmm.
about that, you know, what gestures mean in different cultures,
mm-hmm.
and we really do need to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And then also elevate awareness to intelligence. I think this is pretty interesting. What does this say, Albert?
That you should elevate awareness to intelligence, that cultural intelligence combines cultural knowledge emotional intelligence, and interpersonal skills to achieve improved business results in any cross-cultural situation.
So interpersonal here means our connection and relationships mm-hmm. to one another. So we have several levels that we're working on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are looking at our, we're combining, okay, cultural intelligence. Well, cultural intelligence is combining all of these different aspects. So we're looking at interpersonal skills. So, you know, how do you relate to people generally and how do you relate to people from another culture? And our cultural knowledge. And also our emotional intelligence, our EQ, mm-hmm. emotional quotient, okay? And, again, this is going back to business, okay? It makes a huge difference in business and also in our personal relationships as well. So cultural intelligence, what does this last paragraph say, Rebecca?
Cultural intelligence is about applying strategies in the moment with coworkers and clients.
Well, how can you apply something in the moment? You have to be aware, don't you? You have to be mm-hmm. aware before you actually get there.
That's true.
Right. So I think the bottom line is you do have to make yourself aware. You have to take time to try to understand the different cultures so that when you're in the moment, you'll be able to make a good decision and be sensitive to
That's
your coworkers
right.
and clients.
Good. Well, we thank you for joining us these last 3 days for our career article. We've talked about a lot of different aspects of careers, and we hope that you will join us here again on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.